Okay, Sukkah Daf Chaf Gimel. Let's see if I can post it right this time.
That was funny.
I think I'm rushing after our Dav a little too much.
That one guy got to your head.
Jason said he requested to come here on Shabbos. I told you that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Should I give the presidency for the day?
Chabadnik is a Hakan Ashanik. What?
Should I give the presidency for the day and let him see what's up?
That's all I need. Okay. The Gemara says like this. Mani Mas Nisan, who is the... Did we do the Mishnah?
Yes.
Yeah, we did the Mishnah, right? So who's the Mishnah going according to, right? The Mishnah that says that you're allowed to make a sukkah on top of a boat or on top of a wagon. So who is that Mishnah going? Rabbi Kiva, he. The Tanya, the Braisa, says, Ha'osa sukkahs b'rashasfinu, the Rabbi Kamil Post, Rabbi Kiva, Machshir, pretty simple. The Braisa says explicitly that if someone makes a sukkah on top of a boat, so then Rabbi Gamliel says, no good. Rabbi Akiva says, it's good. And therefore, our mission, which says you can, must be according to Rabbi Akiva. Umasa Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, Shayu Ba'in Basfina. Story, where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva were coming on a boat. Amar Rabbi Akiva v'asa sukkah b'rosh ha'sfina. Okay. Rabbi Akiva had his little pop-up sukkah, and he sort of plops it on the deck. He makes a sukkah. What happened? Lamachar nashva ruach va'akarata. A wind comes and breaks it down. It's happened in Detroit before. Does this happen?
Always, yeah. Occasionally, yeah.
Occasionally, always, your Achmiel doesn't know.
Especially
Steve Kong. It's been 17 years.
It hasn't happened to mine, but it has happened to others.
If Steve Kong is a kiddish, watch out, it will fall over.
Okay. I guess it depends who makes the kiddush or the sukkah. Amar lo Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, heichan sukkascha. Sort of mocking him. Hey, Rabbi Akiva, where'd your sukkah go? So Amar Abaye, dekuli ama heichan de'ena yechol amaruch mesuyad yevasha. Lo klumhi. Anyone who makes a sukkah which cannot withstand a regular I guess I should say existence. It's a regular wind, just a normal breeze. So then, even on dry land, so then it's not even considered a sukkah beforehand. Yechol alama be'ena mitzuyad yevasha kuliyama lo pliki tikshera. Right? Everyone agrees if it can't withstand a normal wind, though it's no good. Everyone agrees if it can withstand an extreme wind, that it's kasher. Ki pliki. The only time that people disagree is when we're talking about a sukkah, which is able to withstand a normal breeze on dry land, but it's not able to withstand a more intense breeze. In this case, the Gemara, at least in the brackets, is saying that it's a normal breeze on the water, which is more breezy. So Rabbi Gamliel Savar, Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan, V'kevim De'in Yechol Amburach Metsuya Diyam Lo Klumi. You need to have a substantial sukkah, and because this sukkah cannot withstand the wind of the sea, Lo Klumi. And Rabbi Akiva Savar, Sukkah Diras Arai Be'inan, V'kevim De'yechol Amburach Metsuya Diyabashak Shera. As long as it's able to withstand the dry land breeze, so then even if it falls down in an abnormal case, like on top of a boat, that would still be okay, because we really only need to cross the threshold of a temporary structure, not a formidable and significant structure. It's an interesting barometer about what's going to be considered formidable and not formidable. We've seen other barometers. We've seen other, you know, how tall can a sukkah be? How many walls, what kind of materials, things like that. But here, it's just a matter of, you know, go test it out. Okay. O agabe gama. You can make a sukkah on top of a camel. So mas nisin money. Who is it going according to? Rabbi Meir he. Titania ha'osa sukkah so agabe behema. Rabbi Meir machsh Rabbi Yehuda poso. Rabbi Meir says you can, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say you can't? Amar kra chakasukos tasalcha shivas yamim.
With the sea, we never resolved. If you put a really strong sukkah
boat. According to Rabbi Akiva, it'll be fine.
Rabbi Gamliel seems to still say it's not
right.
Good.
That's an interesting point. I mean, the Rabbi Gamliel at the beginning of the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Brisa, says it's completely usher, and then we said he has to. Then it says that it's as if he only requires it to withstand a seaward breeze. So it is interesting that in that way, although it doesn't say so. It says so explicitly. So I don't know.
Well, we're obviously talking about ships like galleys and some of what they had then, not what we have now.
That could be. That could be. I don't know.
For sure. Sea breeze. It really doesn't. Breeze hasn't changed.
Actually, it has. There's no question the weather patterns have changed.
Yeah, but I say it's a lot stronger in the ocean than it is on the land now.
But your ability to shelter it on top of a ship has changed.
Right. The materials that we have nowadays are a lot stronger.
Plus, I mean, you could, on a huge ocean liner, you know, you could
put it like that. I don't think they're really talking about materials. They're talking about the difference between
you could take the top off of a shipping container.
Right. That's good. That would work, too. No, but I think also in terms of building it on a bigger surface area, so there's less concern of the shakiness, right? Right. There's more stability. So maybe that will be different. I don't know. So now the Gemara, interestingly enough, the Gemara does not resort to Diras Keva versus Diras Arai in this machlokas about the animal. In terms of the camel, they say it's a completely different reason, right? I could have imagined that the Gemara could have said the same thing. If you build a sukkah on top of a camel, that is a temporary structure. Nobody does that, but it doesn't say that. Either way, so Rabbi Yehuda says, "Amar Kra, Chagusus Tassel Chashivas Yamin." We've seen this structure before. Sukkah Haruuya L'Shiva Shema Sukkah. Sukkah She'en Ruuya L'Kol Shiva Lo Shema Sukkah. A sukkah has to be livable or enterable on all 7 days of the week. All 7 days of the Yontif, which includes all 7 days of the week. So in which case, this animal, you can't get onto the animal on Shabbos and Yontif, because you're not allowed to use animals. Right? Shorcha v'chamarecha. So Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir say back to that? Don't you need the sukkah to last for 7 days? So, or be accessible 7 days? So Gemara says, no, ha nami. It's true that on a Darabanan level, it's no good. Rabbanan hudegaz reba. The rabbis came along and said not to use animals on Shabbos, lest you come to use it in a more substantial, more prohibitive way. But in the case of a sukkah, so you're not dealing with a bona fide iser, because you're not doing something usser with the animal. All you're doing is something which the rabbi said not to do, a gezera. In which case, if you're going to quote me a pasuk, Chagasukos Tasa L'Chashivas Yamim, so then I'm going to tell you, well, within the pasuk, within the Torah, there is no problem of going on to the animal. It's only rabbis that said so, and therefore, it's Mekayim the pasuk, because the pasuk only deals with the level of Daraisa. Although that itself is an interesting concept, because if you would want to get into the theory about why Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with this concept, you could say that the pasuk is really telling us about our experience, not about the sukkah's experience. Meaning, as long as you look at the sukkah and its efficacy as a sukkah itself, so then you could understand, like Rabbi Meir, that this might be too into the weeds, but then you could understand, like Rabbi Meir, that if the sukkah itself is okay for all 7 days on a daraisa level, then it's fine. But if you're going to look at the person's own experience, that when the pasuk says tasel lecha shivas yamim, you have to have something which is 7 days worth. So then it doesn't matter what the reason is. It could be that you're allergic to sukkahs on Sundays. So for you, you're allergic to sukkahs on Sundays. Might be a problem with this pasuk. So it's about how you look at this pasuk, potentially how you could understand this machlokas. A similar machlokas, by the way, about do you have to cover the... I remember this. I just remember teaching this once. Do you have to cover the blood of a chicken when you shecht it? Well, maybe that's not the best example.
There's a bracha you make.
Yeah, so there's a bracha. Well, that doesn't also prove anything. But there are certain shechitas where the covering of the blood is only midrabanan. So then the question is it aser to eat the meat of that animal midaraisa, even though the obligation to cover the blood is only midrabanan? It's kind of interesting because there's an issue that goes along with it, whatever. There's a whole machlokas about how does or if the Torah recognizes isurim drabanan when it creates other isurim based on those isurim. It's kind of whatever. It's kind of an interesting way to think about it. It's a little confusing. But it does come back to our kasha of the week last Shabbos, but not for now. Because it is no longer last Shabbos. Asal lebehema dofen lasukkah. If you make for the animal, or you make of the animal, a wall for your sukkah, meaning the third wall, let's say, Rabbi Meir posel Rabbi Yehuda machshir. It's similar to how we ended off the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says no good. Rabbi Yehuda says you can. Shai Rabbi Meir Omer I called out sheish boru achayim ain osin oso lo dofen lo sukkah lo lechil mavoi lo pasin lo biros lo golel lakever. So you can't use it for a sukkah, you can't use it for a lechi, the lechi being a post on the side of the entrance to a mavoi, right? It can't be one of those four corners around the well that allows you to go and get it, the water. How do you translate golel lakever? Covering for a grave. So this is a shas wide machlokas. We've had it already before, and I think I mentioned it already that time. Oh, good. I like that. So this is a machlokas. Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand it. It used to be that you would bury people in some kind of cave, and then you would roll something over the entrance of the cave. Tosfos, for whatever reason, based on a few different gemaras, understands that it's not really a rolling, not cover, but rolling entrance doorway, but rather it is a literal, encapsulating cover. Like you have some kind of hole or box and you put this thing on top of it. Golel, you can see in the word, implies some kind of rolling system. So that's why it sounds like it's talking to about that picture. I don't believe, I don't remember what Rashi says. How does Rashi understand the word golel here?
Rashi holds that the Gemara is referring to the covering of a cloth, and according to Tosot and others, it's a large stone that seals the grave. In several burial caves, large stones were found that served as a door to the cave. They were rolled into place to close the entrance and rolled away.
So this is Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Every time it ever brings up this concept, Rashi and Tosfos always disagree.
And then archaeology came and...
And solved it for us, yeah. Okay, I think there are other examples. I think we're going to talk... Are we going to talk about it now? Not exactly. But I think there are other Gemaras that talk about how whether or not you can use a living animal as your golel. And that's always what throws Tosos off.
I can't see the animal cooperating.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like a turtle could stay there for a while.
Right, because it talks here, that the concern is about it dying. I think the larger concern is it just says, see you later.
Right. That's what the Gemara is about to say, actually. So my time, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Agli, the Armel Af Ein Kosvin Alav Gitei Nashim. You can't give a get to a woman on an animal. It's a sticky divorce, and you want to really... get revenge of some kind. Here's your get. Go chase it. Right? So you can't do that. That doesn't work. So my time to Rabbi Meir. What's the reason for Rabbi Meir who says that you're not allowed to use it? Use animals, live animals. Amar Shematamas, because the animal's going to die. Rabbi Zera Amar Shematibrach, because it's going to run away. So the appeal.
Of course, both of those lead to the question of can you use a dead animal?
Oh, well. The first opinion sounds like it's a problem to use a dead animal, right? But Abaye's worry about why you can't use a live animal because it might die. So what's wrong with it dying?
The walls can be makabel from
So that's what the Gemara is going to say, or the Gemara is going to ask. So Peel Kashor, when it's talking about a bound elephant, that how it is? Yeah. Bound elephant. Kuli amalo pligi zi'i nami mayas yesh bin nivlaso asar. Right? That there's no problem if you're using an elephant, so then that elephant's no problem because even on its side, it's going to be, or even dead, it's going to be at least 10 tefachim tall. Right? When was the last time you saw an elephant whose body is less than 36 inches? Right? She says it doesn't happen. So if you had a dog or whatever and it collapses, so then maybe you could say that the wall is not tall enough anymore because now it's dead and it's on the ground. So ki pligi, however, repeal she'eno kashor. What about the elephant that's not tied down? How exactly you tie down an elephant? I don't know. But leman da'amar shema tamos lo chayshinan. According to the one that says they were only concerned about it dying, meaning a baye, so then there's no problem because it doesn't matter if it's tied or not. It's not moving, apparently, according to Abaye. We're not worried that it's going to move. And once it dies, it's still going to be 10 tefachim tall. But according to Rabbi Zer, who says we're worried about it running away, so then we're still going to be worried, even if it's not, because it can, even if we're not worried about it dying, it still could run away while it's still alive. Why are you only concerned about it dying? Shouldn't you also be concerned about it running away? I mean, that's a pretty problematic issue. If it runs away, I don't care that your concern is that it's going to die. It's not there. You just don't have a sukkah anymore. When the animal is not tied down and it can run away, everyone agrees, even Abaye, that it's no good because it's going to run away. When do they disagree? When the animal is tied down. According to the one that says it's going to die, so we are worried because maybe, who knows, it's going to fall down and it's not going to have 10 tefachim tall. According to the one that says that we're only concerned about it running away, so we're not concerned because it's not going anywhere, it's tied down. And according to the opinion of Rabbi Zeira, who says that we're worried it's going to run away, why don't you also worry about it dying? So mislo shchicha, right? Dying doesn't happen every day. If you tie it in the same spot, maybe it does happen more often, but we're not worried about it either way. The Gemara here, interestingly enough, I don't think talks about it needing to stay there for 7 days. I guess the assumption is that you're going to keep it tied up for 7 days and feed it in that spot. That'd be tough. I feel like elephants is a little
unwieldy. It could be, you know, this is a temp. We talked about,
Well, it has to be re'uya l'shiva. It doesn't literally have to stand for seven, but it has to be something which can stand for seven. So, or can be used for seven, as we saw Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir just before. So here, I guess it technically is re'uya l'shiva if you were to, treat it nicely and let it, be bound in that way. I don't know. But either way, so the man says, wait a second, v'haika revacha de'beni beni. Isn't there a space between the animal's legs, in which case there's going to be a big hole in the wall? Assuming the hole is too big. So da'avile behutza v'dafna. You know what else you're doing to this animal? You're filling up that space with some kind of wall.
Well, first of all, this sounds impractical. Secondly, the animal will just sort of kick it away.
Okay.
This is a 10-minute sukkah.
Right. My impression is that the best way to do this would probably not be to literally attach it to the animal, but to maybe put up some slats that are like lovewood-ish, right? Put up some pieces that could make it still fill in the hole so that it's considered halachically connected, but not literally. Or you could do something which is more flimsy. Well, that would get into issues of the wind and stuff, but okay. V'dilma rav'a. Maybe the animal is going to sit down for a second, and therefore it's not going to be 10 tefachim. So Gemara says, no, dimsicha ba'ashle mil'el. You're holding it up somehow. I have no idea how they would do this back then. How do you do that?
I mean, if you tied its neck.
To what?
Like to a beam.
No, but it's saying ropes from above and coming underneath.
You'd have to have a very strong structure underneath. I'm still thinking of an elephant. Maybe this is now talking about a dog or even a cow, and therefore it's easier. But, I mean, that is hefty apparatus. Just build a wall at that point.
That's what I was thinking is, at that point, aren't you complicating matters right. So much? You're better off just getting a wall.
Use that wood for a wall.
Serious issues with Sarbelli Chaim.
Potentially. It depends how you do it. You could make a very nice, comfy little canopy bed or whatever.
But then it's going to sway in the wind.
Right, right, yeah. No, this is definitely not an easy thing to figure out.
Like any other, I mean, they like to move around. And
I was thinking before the summer started, if you remember, I sent out a Google Doc if there were kids that were interested in learning Mishnah on Shabbos afternoon. Too many vacations, no one really signed up. But the ending goal of that program would be build like the most creative sukkah. This would definitely be one of those, you know, having swinging animals making your walls. So why is it that Abai is so worried about it dying? Why don't you just do this? Hang it up. Make sure that even if it dies, it's not going anywhere. It's not going to fall down. So Gemara says, no, zimnim demokim bepachos mishlosha samach l'schach. Sometimes you're going to make the animal less than three tzvachim from the schach, so that it can be considered a real wall, although that's not necessary, so I don't know why. Oh, because we're talking about like right on the edge. The cave in Demaisa Kavtsa. What is Kavtsa?
And once it dies, it shrinks.
Oh, it shrinks, that's right. Velavadate. When it dies, it sort of shrivels up a little bit and therefore loses its measurements. So it doesn't matter that it's hanging, it's still going to get smaller. And because it was right already on the edge of whether or not the measurement is good enough, so then we're worried. Kind of a crazy thing to be worried about, but that's according to Abai. So Gemara says, wait a second. Umi Amar Abaye, Rabbi Meir Chayish Lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Chayish. Is it really true that Abaye said that Rabbi Yehuda's worried about death, and that Rabbi Meir is worried about death, and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about death? V'hatanan bas Yisrael shenisis l'kohen. If a Jewish girl is married to a kohen,
a man that
the
man was married to a kohen.
In other words, she's
bas Yisrael. Yeah, if a girl that's not a kohen, not the daughter of a kohen, marries a kohen. V'halach ba'alah l'medina sayam. And then her kohen husband goes away on a business trip. Ochelos b'truma, she's allowed to continue eating truma. V'chayes kashu kayam, because you can assume that the guy's still alive. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to assume the worst when your husband goes away for a business trip. Raminan Allah. And then we had a question on that over there in the Bryce. This is a Gemara in Gittin Chaf Ches 28a. If a person says to his wife, this is a get for you the moment before I die, meaning that it's not supposed to be chal yet. So asura lechol betruma miyad. Even though his condition is only later, she's not allowed to eat truma right now because you never know when it's going to die. Kind of interesting, the two situations. One assumes and one doesn't assume. V'amar Abaye then said over there, wait a second, that's not a contradiction, right? One saying that we assume he's not going to die, and the other saying we're assuming he's going to die any second. So Amar Abaye lo kasha. Ha, Rabbi Meir, de lo chayish lemisa. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, de chayish lemisa. So Abaye uses the same language that we just used. What are we worried about? Are we worried about death or are we not worried about it? Is it something that we're concerned is legitimately going to happen or is it not? And here he mixes up the shitas. He says the opposite of what we just said. He says here, Rabbi Meir is the one that doesn't care about something dying. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that he does care. And yet, before, the machlokas was between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir was the one that said you can't use the sukkah because you can't use an animal for the sukkah because it could die, according to Abaye. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one that says you are allowed to use it. Presumably because he's not worried that it's going to die, according to Abaye. According to Rabbi Zera, the whole problem is not about death. It's about it running away. So how could it be now that Abaye is assuming the different shitas of Abaye and of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Tanya, halokach gainu ben akusim. So this is telling us another machlokas, really the original machlokas, I guess, about where Rabbi Yehuda disagree about death. Halokeach yamin beyakusim, if you are buying wine in the marketplace from non-Jews, I assume it's sealed or whatever, so it's not a problem yayin esach, but it is a problem of tevel. You need to take out trumas and maestros. Oh, kusim are, I guess, Jewish, so it's not exactly.
Well, at the moment, then right. They were, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, they converted or whatever. Yeah, Rashi says that this braisa nishnes kodem shegazru chachamim al kusim. Right, it was before the kusim were considered non-Jews. Okay. So either way, so you have to take trumas and maizros, but you can't do it before Shabbos because you're not at home yet. So amar, and you can't get home early enough. Omer shnei lugin shani asal hafish harilin truma asara maser rishon v'tisha maser sheni umechel, and then the rest of it is and mechel meaning you're machalel your pode the maser sheni onto some other money in your house v'shosa miyad divrei Rabbi Meir, you could drink it right away. This is a mishnah I think we've seen before. Mm-hmm. We saw it in Yoma, we saw it in Erevin. And we'll probably see it again a couple more times, Baruch Hashem. So Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to use it. You're allowed to use it right away. This is, by the way, a concept of Breira. This is what we talked about in Erevin. Right? You're retroactively you're retroactively determining what part of the actual drink is going to be Trumas and Meiser. Or Meiser Rishon. Right? Because you're not going to say, you're not going to determine what's going to be Meiser until you leave over what's left in the bottle when you're done. But you don't know what liquid of the bottle that is at the beginning of drinking it. So that's called Breira. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Ostrin, they say you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because who's to say you're ever going to actually determine what's going to be? Because maybe you're going to die. I think that's what it means, right?
It says here, due to concern lest the wineskin burst and the contents spill before he has an opportunity to
right.
actually separate
that's
the trument.
Right, I remember that's what was said in Erevin also. That maybe it's going to break and you're not going to be able to actually distinguish what's the truma yet, or the meiser yet. And I guess we are extrapolating from here that Rabbi Yehuda is worried about, I guess, extreme situations from happening. So same thing when it comes to the animal dying or the husband dying, we should say the same thing for Rabbi Yehuda. So in the end of the day, we are left with a kasha here. So Gemara says, which one is it? Does Rabbi Yehuda think that we're worried about death or no? So Epoch says the Gemara, switch around those shitas and gittin. That Gemara that we just quoted, those two situations. Say Rabbi Meir chayish lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish lemisa. Asol lebehem adoch on sukkah, Rabbi Meir posa, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So we're going to say that our version of the machlokas in sukkah is the one that's the really true. And the other one should be flipped around, right? Because you could flip either one if that's what you're trying to do. So here we're saying that the machlokas by sukkah is the one that really determines their shita, although I don't remember saying that in the other Gemaras, but Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says we're not worried about death, and therefore he'll say that the animal can be used for a sukkah, and that the wine can be retroactively designated, and we're not worried about it breaking on Shabbos, and that the woman is not allowed to eat truma after her husband tells her that condition. Okay. And it would apply to the other one also, based on the machlokas that we attributed to it, that it would apply also to a Cohen who goes away on a business trip. She'd also wouldn't be allowed to drink truma. And did not yet give her a divorce. Yeah. She would still be allowed to eat truma. She would not be allowed to eat truma anymore, assuming that he could have died on his time away. Nowadays with cell phones, maybe it'll be different.
Well, the one who's not concerned that the wineskin broke would be the same one who's not concerned that the husband died.
Right, that's all Rabbi Meir. In the end of the day, it's all according to Rabbi Meir,
and
but we'll see.
If it turns out in the end that they're wrong, then
she'll
the
just
burst, and now he drank untied wine.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a risk you're willing, that they're willing to take.